I'll be retiring next June of 2015, and that will be completing 42 years at that point.
Were you a classroom teacher before you were part of the association itself?
Yes, I was. My very first year out of college, I taught a year at Ritner in St. Louis County, mm-hmm. Ritner School District, and then went in the Navy for a while. And after I got out of the Navy, I landed down at Camden in Missouri and taught high school math down there for 3 years.
With the interruption for the Navy, you've been involved in classroom teaching or with the association for about 50 years.
That's true. Absolutely.
I'm sure in those 50 years, this is one thing I want to talk to you about, you have seen a lot of changes in the way mm-hmm. we go about educating our children. Mm-hmm. Think back over those years, especially during your term with the MSBA. What do you think has been the most effective changes that have been made in the way we educate our children?
Well, I think, Bob, our commitment to accountability for not only what's being taught, but the intensity of demand by our society and our families to improve the quality of education has really had a big impact on strategies. Certainly our curricular needs have become more aggressive. I can only think back, I mentioned I taught high school math. Back when I was in high school, which was obviously a long time ago, the most advanced math class you could take in high school at that time was trigonometry. And now we have young people in our public schools testing out of 2 years, or in some cases even more, of calculus when they go to college. So that's an example of how everything is just absolutely advanced in terms of expectations and standards in our public schools.
That brings an interesting another question, because with the school boards, I imagine the school boards have to confront these constant changes, because school boards are always dealing with a constantly changing climate, aren't they?
Absolutely. And just like the intensity on professional educators has increased, the performance and expectations and of local school boards have increased as well. And as you're suggesting, which is absolutely true, to keep up with this fast pace of change, school board members are much more engaged in professional development in terms of fulfilling their roles as elected officials. The knowledge that they need to have and the information that they need to be cognizant of is just continually increased over the years. And we have board members today that are spending a considerable amount of their personal time keeping abreast of the changes in education and trying to do the very best job that they can do in these policy-making roles.
42 years ago, when you started with the School Boards Association, probably was a time when somebody could get elected to the board and simply go into their first meeting and think that they were about as well qualified to sit on that Board of Education as the next guy. But now, as you mentioned, people are spending a lot of time keeping up to date on what's going on in education, what their responsibilities are. So the whole mm-hmm. the whole idea of the school board has become something far more than just a one meeting a month that people mm-hmm. go to and kind of vote with the superintendent, I guess.
Most definitely. In terms of just preparation, there are many people who observe board meetings before they even make a decision to run for the local board. And then once they do make that decision to put their name on the ballot, there's programs that we at MSBA provide to help people prepare for even running for the board. And that deals with everything from what's legal and appropriate as far as campaigns, running a campaign, and also even gets into what can you expect once you get elected to that Board of Education. So there are a lot of resources out there today to assist people who have an interest in pursuing boardsmanship, and those types of resources didn't even exist several years ago. So lots of things have changed.
Have the politics of education changed?
Yes, Bob, I would say they have. And I think the politics of our nation has changed, you know, in 40 years. Some things are just part of the fabric of a democracy and you know, politics itself. But one of the things that seems to have changed from my perspective is the polarization of perspective and the polarization of philosophy. The middle class, if you will, or the middle of the road thinking, is certainly not in the driver's seat relative to the articulation and getting support for political positions. It seems like the further to the right or the further to the left you are, there seems to be much more power and influence in those extreme positions than there are in the middle, if you will. And that's one person's perspective. That's just my perspective. But I think that's something that's very different, in which the implications of that is that it's much harder to come to the table and reach consensus on various positions. So it just makes it much more difficult.
Is there a danger that the children get lost in this ideological argument that goes on?
I think very much so. The almighty dollar in this country has a tremendous influence as well. And sometimes it would appear, in fact, it's not just appear. Unfortunately, we have people running today for local school boards that are more interested in tax policy than they are in children. And that was obviously never meant to be. The Board of Education, as the name implies, is about children and providing a high-quality public school, public education. And there are certainly other forms. And taxes, obviously, is extremely important, and I understand that's what supports public schools. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about policy decisions on the local school board, the focus clearly should be and must be on the children and those schools that those boards are serving. That is the center of the plate, if you will.
Have you ever known a time when school boards, when the educational system was comfortable financially?
You know, that's an interesting question. And I would say that there were times when there was less stress, but to use the word comfortable, I think there's always been a tension in terms of having adequate or sufficient dollars to fund public education. But clearly in our history, as you know, there were times when the formula, which is the way we disperse money in this state to support public education, when it was fully funded, not many years that did that, but we have had some. And we've had, you know, some rise and decline in terms of commitment, in terms of financial dollars. But I think your point, and I'm not sure it's your point, but what I'm hearing in the question is that I think having adequate and equitable dollars to fund education is generally something that we just, it's part of our culture and something that we deal with.
At this stage, as looking back over 40 some years and looking ahead to your last school year, in effect, what would you think the school boards of the state of Missouri most look to Jefferson City for right now?
Well, I think they look to Jefferson City, and I'd like to divide that answer just a little bit between the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and the legislative / governor policymakers. You know, I think they're looking for leadership and a political body or bodies that are willing to recognize the value of high quality system, education system, and not only helping young people as individuals prepare for a life, not only prepare families to be effective in their raising of their children and providing those types of educational resources, but also recognize that there is a strong direct correlation between the quality of education and our ability to function economically. To think otherwise is, from my perspective, rather ludicrous, and it can't be overstated in terms of the relationship between economic survival and a high-quality education. So I think that's one thing that the boards of Missouri, the school boards across the state, look to Jefferson City for leadership and providing the resources that are necessary, at least provide support for the resources. There's a lot of local, the majority of resources comes from the local level, and then the state, and then some federal, but that's minimal. But all that together needs to prepare for a strong America. The relationship between public education and our democracy is, well, let me put it this way. The Missouri School Boards Association, this is not unique to our organization, but we support, have had the belief, a belief statement in our organization since its inception, that public education is the foundation of democracy. And there's lots of implications with that simple, short belief statement. And for those who adhere to that concept, I think are the kinds of leaders that we need in Jefferson City to ensure Missouri's future. The other organization I mentioned was the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. I think school boards and our school systems throughout the state, again, look to the State Board of Education and the department for leadership and for a organization that advocates for children and the value of a public school system and public education.
Throughout my career covering the legislature, which is 40 years, and your career as head of the MSBA for 42 years, we've heard many, many arguments in the General Assembly about the issue of tenure. It looks like we might have something on a ballot this year having to do with tenure. What has been the history of the relationship of school boards and this whole issue of tenure? Do they like it? Have they gone back and forth on it? What do they see tenure as school boards, as administrators, as being?
Well, excellent question. As far as the concept of tenure, as I'm sure you're aware, the whole idea of tenure came from the higher education environment rather than K-12 environment. Clearly, the idea in the beginning was for protection of professionals to be able to teach and not be held and not to be mistreated because of what they may teach based on their professional education career. And certainly in the higher education environment, that makes probably more sense than when we think of it as educating elementary and secondary school students. But as far as school boards are concerned, we're not, as an organization and as individual school boards, there is merit in providing employees some protection. The kind of protection that's provided is where today what we're facing is really where the debate takes place and from a school board's perspective. And the issue is, are we trying to provide tenure in the traditional sense, or is it important to have multi-year contracts to where arbitrary and capricious actions based upon personalities or other temporary situations don't control a person's destiny in terms of their professional career. And for most, I think today, we would feel comfortable providing multi-year contracts, just like the superintendent of schools in most school districts are on a multi-year contract of 2 to 3 years, typically. And to have that model, if you will, for all employees makes some sense. But school boards are not willing to throw the whole idea of vulnerability of employment out there for the education of our children. It's just too important not to have some stability and some assurance and have a profession that is attractive to young people entering into that, when you know that the two most important things that are important to an adult, a parent of a household, is their dollars and their children. And those things create a high degree of passion and concern, and should always be treated with utmost respect. And I think, you know, that's what we're really trying to accomplish, is a reasonable approach for the professionals who engage in this profession, and at the same time protect our children so that they aren't saddled with a bad educational experience, and we're able to correct problems that could and do occur from time to time, but they are the exception for sure rather than the rule.
The criticism on tenure that keeps coming up and has come up through the years is that tenure is a way to protect lousy teachers. It seems to me school boards have plenty of authority to get rid of bad teachers, don't they?
They do, Bob, and I think there's a misunderstanding about that. I will say that, you know, if you want to look at the process, maybe there's ways to make it more efficient. But there have been numerous, every year there's tenured teachers who are dismissed because of one of the five reasons for which you can dismiss a tenured teacher. So is it difficult? Yeah, to some degree. Is it take considerable resources? In some cases, not all. But, you know, we don't want to get ourselves in a situation to where it becomes as easy as flipping a light switch because of there are politics involved in communities and there are politics involved in school boards. And to go to the other extreme is not a solution. And we need to be very careful in terms of amending any kind of our policies or legislation that pertains to tenure and looking out for the interests of children and families, and at the same time looking out for the interest of those who have chosen this as their life work.
The association has to deal with such a broad range of school boards, it seems to me. You've got school boards for districts that are just K through 8. You've got school boards in the metropolitan areas where the districts are in deep, deep trouble. You've got some school boards where 100% of the kids graduate from high school, and you've got school boards in districts where it's, what, 30 to 50% sometimes in a good year. How has the association been able to deal with, or how does the association deal with such a wide diversity of school boards, and how does it serve them?
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, I would say that from the state association's perspective, we look at this diversity from community to community, and these are the community's schools, and the school itself is often a reflection of the community. I mean, it's embedded within that community. We also think of these 500 boards across the state as the student body. As an analogy, you can think of it as a student body of a single school where you have 500 children attending school. Everybody that walks through the door of that school has different needs and different abilities. They have different issues that they're dealing with. But at the end of the day, they're all there to get an education, and they're all there to get a diploma, and they're all there to be able to be engaged in meaningful work or for their education. But all those things are common. And in this case, as far as school boards are concerned, we're all there, all boards are there for the purpose of making good policy decisions for the benefit of the children within that community. As an association, we go out and work with individual boards through consultation, board development. We work with individual board members as well as the board as a whole. And I like to refer to school board work as a team sport. You can have individuals on a school board that are talented, gifted, have everything that you would want and desire in a school board member, but if there's not good team play, and if the board as a unit cannot function effectively, then the ability for that board to make sound policies or to get sidetracked and get out in the weeds on issues that are really not at the center of the plate for what boards should be dealing with becomes very likely in those situations. So there's a common, you know, there's the key work of school boards, and that would apply to every board in throughout the nation, not just Missouri. And so to that extent, there is a common goal, a common focus as to the work of school boards. But again, people being people, communities being communities, there is a lot of divergence from one community to the next. And as a professional organization, that is really a major part of our charge, is to provide the support that we can bring to bear upon supporting those that are doing it right and encouraging that, and to try to find resolution to challenges that boards that are struggling and communities that are struggling are facing. So, you know, it's really not one size fits all, even though there's a common goal, if you will, out there on the horizon.
One of the things that I often hear in the discussion of education policy over at the legislature is that you can't do very much with a school district unless the parents care enough to get really involved. Has the School Boards Association looked at, I'm sure it's looked at, but has it or anybody else ever found a way to get parents involved in a school district?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the answer is yes. And I think at the state level, MSBA works very closely with the Missouri Parents and Teachers Association, Missouri PTA. That is an organization that needs more members, quite frankly, and not from the standpoint of struggling, but the fact that as parents, and it gets to the point of your question, we need to get people engaged in this and in the education of their children. The research is out there clearly, report after report after report, that validates and verifies that parental engagement is absolutely at the center of a child's success in school. And I'm sure all of us can come up with anecdotes and examples of to demonstrate the truth of that. Are all families going to do it? Absolutely not. Is there a program that's going to cause all families to get engaged? Probably not. But it's, again, it's the kind of work that never goes away, that is absolutely essential for that young person attending school, and is something that we must continually strive to be more effective at accomplishing, and that's getting parents involved in their children's education, reading to them. There's all kinds of ways to get engaged, and Missouri PTA is a great organization to help promote and provide ways in which a parent can help their child be successful in school. We obviously support that work because we know the research, and we know what happens when parents do get engaged and support their children.
After 50 years, either as a classroom teacher or an association person like this, what are you going to do when next June rolls around?
Well, that's a good question. And I'm still trying to think through that. And by making this announcement a year earlier than when it's actually going to take place, that gives me a little bit of time, Bob, to think through that and maybe come up with some good answers on what to do. I do know that what I'd like to do is kind of reconnect and with family and spend a little bit more time on those things that are really ultimately the significant part of all of our lives, and those are the people who are loved ones and the people closest to us. And in addition to that, however, I want to explore a few things. I'm a kind of a hobby farmer, and I'm going to kind of mess around a little bit with cattle and horses and things like that, which is something I've been involved in for the whole time I've been here. So, you know, I have a propensity and find that relaxing and interesting, but I don't probably see that as something that would fulfill all my time, and for sure, and looking beyond that, still a lot of decisions to be made, lots of thoughts to have on that I need to give to that. I just don't have a better answer than that right now, I guess. So I have a year to think about it. I mean, you don't spend this much time in a profession or a job or whatever you want to, however you want to say it, and not have second thoughts about it. I mean, I would, you know, I think about it often. Am I making a mistake here? But then, you know, I look at my chronological age and I think, well, you know, if you're ever going to do something other than work here at MSBA, it's probably time to pull the trigger on that and give it a whirl and see if what happens. So even though I have some reservations, I think I'm doing the right thing. I think the time's right for me. I'm going at a time when it's an exciting time in education. Lots of issues, or not that there hasn't always been, but I do think that the intensity of the issues that we face today and the consequences of what we do and what we don't do in education have never been greater. And it's good to know that I strongly believe the association's in good hands, and whatever the board does to move forward, that my board of directors, the MSBA board of directors, I'm sure it'll be the right steps. And I think it's a good time to probably say exit, and so we'll give it a whirl and see what happens.